Hello, and welcome to show number 2433 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
This is a huge resource, really. I mean, in the school systems in the U.S., a lot of people do not know about this, you know, whether it be families or teachers or others. So I highly, highly recommend going to bookshare.org. You can search for it on your app store as well.
And I was one of the very early subscribers to Bookshare. What a useful service with lots of books for everybody.
Benetech has made it possible for people around the world who are blind, visually impaired, or otherwise print disabled to access printed books and educational materials. We'll talk with CEO Ayan Kishore about the evolution of Benetech and Bookshare and how they are using artificial intelligence to enhance the accessibility of STEM content in their books and other materials. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Ayan Kishore.
My tip for the week is, if you are a student in the U.S. and, you know, if you have obviously a disability, but even if you don't and you have a reading challenge or barrier, there is a pretty good chance you qualify for Bookshare. So this is a tip for teachers and parents and others, and you can sign up for Bookshare. As a teacher, you can sign up for Bookshare as a parent or guardian. I think a lot of people believe that Bookshare is only a resource for those who are blind, and it started as such. But at this point in time, we are serving almost 20% of the U.S. student population. So it's a good chance, if you learn differently, that you can access this resource. And there is a lot of evidence of how those supports can actually help you with reading and learning. So give that a shot.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Let's start by meeting Ayan.
Hello, my name is Ayan Kishore, and I am the CEO of Benetech.
And how long have you had that role?
Almost 3 years, nearing 3 years soon.
Where were you before that?
Before Benetech, I was at an organization called Creative Associates International. They're international development and education org, and I was leading their practice focused on using technology for education and peace building and development programs.
What brought you to Benetech in particular?
Oh, I mean, Benetech's work is so close to my heart. I mean, like many people, started as an engineer, computer engineer, and soon discovered that I wanted whatever I was doing to be much more directly helping people and be involved in actually creating particularly software that could be, you know, helpful for folks. So that's been my journey. You know, as I've been working around the world, the problems are greater, and you know, some of the challenges and opportunities are also amazing with technology, particularly for those that Benetech serve. So, but there's a story behind how Benetech and I got together. I think we were both funded by the same funder, and I got to know Jim a while ago. And when I heard Benetech was looking for some changes, I had a chat, and one thing led to another. And but yeah, I've been very excited to see how Benetech has been doing and now being able to help support their journey.
Jim being Jim Fruchterman, the founder.
Yes.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Benetech, the company, Bookshare, the service, and how they are using artificial intelligence to enhance their offerings.
Well, Ayan, in the introduction, we talked about Benetech, and we are more familiar with Bookshare, although we're certainly familiar with Benetech, and I understand Benetech Bookshare has kind of changed their mission and reorganized a little bit. Can you tell us what's new in that regard?
Sure, absolutely. So Benetech, for many years, we're actually coming close to our 25th anniversary. had been focused on building software for problems that we identified that would be very meaningful. And from the beginning, we've been working particularly with blind, low vision, and those with brain disabilities. But there was a lot of work in many other areas. We worked in human rights, we worked in environment, so on and so forth. And I think along with me joining, we decided that we really need to focus, right? We've been, our core brand is Bookshare that you mentioned, and that a lot of the work that we have done has been focused on, accessibility and inclusive education and accessible education. So that is the new Benetech. It's basically taking what we were really good at and was always the biggest part of our work and committing to making that our sole work and seeing whatever we do and innovate is to actually further that goal.
So our listeners probably know what Bookshare is, but can you describe that for anybody who doesn't?
Awesome. Yes. So Bookshare is an amazing resource that most people do not know about, but I'm really glad to hear that your audience does. But Bookshare is the largest collection of accessible digital reading materials. If you use something like a Kindle, you can think of a much more accessible version of the Kindle. And if you're a student in the U.S., that's basically it's free because we're subsidized to the Department of Education federally, as well as it has content that is more relevant to also education beyond a lot of recreational content. So we have over 1.5 million books. We work with over 1,000 publishers, and any book you can basically read in all sorts of different formats that might work best for you. So you can via audio, primarily text to speech. You can basically hear it in what we call karaoke style, which a lot of those with learning differences tend to use, which, have words and sentences highlighted along with the with audio. You could have it in a refreshable braille device and so on and so forth. So that in a nutshell is Bookshare.
And it got its name because it started out by having individuals scan in single copies of books that they had and then sharing them with other people.
Yeah, exactly. And scanning still continues to be, though, a much, much, much smaller part of how we grow the collection. But that's right. I mean, I think part of it was also, and it still continues to be some of the redundancies. Whenever somebody wants an accessible book, we have places around the world, including today, educational institutions that have to go and oftentimes try to find and get the book. And, there are other people around the country, around the world that could also derive value from that. So Bookshare basically provided a platform so that it allows you to share content, it reduces repeating of the work. And now we've gotten to a point in which if you are looking for a book, you almost get it instantaneously because there's a good chance it's already in the collection. So that's the power of sort of bringing those things together.
And the thing that made that possible over the years was the partnerships that you developed with many, many publishers that make it very easy to get the electronic copies of the books they had and put them in formats that visually impaired and blind people around the world can read in their preferred format.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are very thankful and grateful that the publishers have understood the mission and they see how this is a valuable contribution. So a lot of actually now the collection does come directly through sort of feeds that we built with publishers, and the the benefits of that are the moment the book is launched and you go and try to pick it up at a bookstore, at the same time, you're going to get it at Bookshare. So that's really exciting because a lot of our readers can get access to books at the same time in an accessible way, and we're very proud of that.
And we should mention that these books are provided at no cost to students and educators around the world and for a small subscription to other adults who are blind, visually impaired, or otherwise have some print disability or difficulty reading in any way.
Yeah, for the most part. So it's a bit of a tiered model. We are a nonprofit, but it takes a lot to have such a big collection and usage around the world. So in the U.S., if you're in an educational institution or if you're a student, you have completely free access to it. If you're an adult, there is a subscription fee. And if you're in other countries in the world, if you're in a low-income country, it's free. And then depending on the income of the country, it's a tiered sort of subscription fee.
And Bookshare was also instrumental in making it possible to share that material around the world and deal with the copyright laws that were different in different countries. And that Marrakesh Treaty was a very important thing that came along to make that possible.
Yeah, it is. It is amazing. I think, you know, we just celebrated the 10th anniversary of the Marrakesh Treaty last year. And, you know, just looking and seeing how many countries have signed on and what the impact is of that. And for those who haven't signed on, the impact of that, right? I mean, I'm lucky enough to travel and visit places. So, you know, a country like India, where we work heavily in, you know, much of the Bookshare collection, you know, these million books are accessible and available in India. And so, you know, through the treaty, you overnight have access to a lot of these materials that have been created around the world and shared. And there are others who are also trying to push those efforts forward. But then I was also visiting Egypt, and I was really dismayed for a country where, you know, there's so much work happening around supporting those who are blind. There is literally, you know, the number of accessible books is in the hundreds or less. So, and they haven't signed on to the Marrakesh Treaty. So, you know, maybe I'll take a moment to say that, you know, the power of, you know, this sort of cross-country sharing is huge, because it really does mean a lot for those, you know, who do need reading materials to be able to access them.
We talked a lot about the services that you make available and the way that you distribute books to people who are blind around the world. But I take it there's also some infrastructure to make that possible in terms of dealing with new standards, new ways of presenting information, etc. Can we talk a little bit about that? What happens behind the scenes to make this possible?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So there's, we're definitely involved heavily in the standards, and we're thankful to be involved in that sort of work. So we're involved with the DAISY, for instance, and also the W3C. And it's amazing because, you know, I think we're constantly at a point in which we're thinking about how do we go to the next difficult thing, right? So, for example, books that are mostly text are now at a point they're very easy to make accessible. But we look back about fixed layout books, and they're pretty hard, right? And so, for example, a comic book is very hard to make accessible. And if you think about particularly young readers and learners, that's really exciting to them. So, you know, we're obviously working on helping set those standards and hopefully bring those then to, you know, see how we can do that with Bookshare. Similar area, which, you know, I'm looking forward to talking to you more about is, you know, STEM content, right? STEM content is very difficult to make accessible. And so, you know, both working on the standards front, as well as then actually figuring out how we can build solutions to actually deliver content that meets better standards.
I've heard reference to your Page AI initiative. Can you talk a little bit about that and possibly how you use AI to foster some of these efforts?
Yes, absolutely. So this is definitely one of our biggest R&D initiatives for the last several years. So Page AI basically started as a solution set to try to solve the problem of STEM content being rather inaccessible. So if you open a STEM book, it's going to have equations and graphs and diagrams, and it's no surprise that a student who has blindness or a learning difference is you know, much more likely to drop out of STEM than their peers. In fact, it's at a rate that's shocking. I think we have a STEM workforce that's got, maybe 3%. I have to double check that number on, of people with disabilities. And we know that students actually want to pursue STEM at the same rate as their peers. So one of the challenges is the inaccessibility of STEM content. It's very expensive to manually remediate STEM content. We're talking about in the tens of thousands of dollars. Right now, we don't have a regulatory landscape that requires publishers to make that accessible. So as a result, STEM content is not very accessible. So what Page AI started doing is that, hey, let's start looking at applying AI, machine learning and predictive AI, to really build a data set. You know, we have access to a lot of content, and we have publishers who we have good relationships with. How can we actually build data sets and train models to be able to take in an image of STEM content and provide an accessible output? So we started with the equations, math equations, particularly taking an image of that and produce a math ML output. And then after that, we focused on images of graphs. We started with line graphs and four other different types of graphs, and be able to put an image and, you know, get out basically a tabular data that you can then manipulate from different ways. And then this year we're working on chemistry equations. So you can get put in an image of an equation and get basically ChemML out. And so we've built a set of tools even surrounding these individualized models that, you know, you put in an image of a page, it's able to segment it. It's able to tell you that, oh, this is an image of a graph and this type of graph, and then pass it through a particular model to get you that output. And then it collects all the accessible things back, and then it reproduces a more accessible version of that page. So that is Page AI in a nutshell. We have already done quite a bit in that. I think we've gone through and made about 8 million equations and thousands of books in Bookshare more accessible. And I think we're just getting started of how we can bring this technology to a point that can really help reduce the barriers in STEM reading and learning.
When you referred to chemical equations, you're talking about molecular structures?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you have a letter somewhere saying this is what the element is, and lines indicating how many bonds there are between it and the next one.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And ChemML is an output format markup language that allows you to be able to access that in a more accessible way.
So I don't know where it's gotten to lately, but many years ago when he was a graduate student in California, Hobie Wedler developed a process where he could 3D print molecular structures and put Braille on all of the bonds so he knew the bond length, and Braille on all of the atoms so he knew what element it was.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
That's harder to generate for an entire book than putting it into ChemML, but it's another option.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, and you all might know, we did a lot of work with tactiles previously at Benetech too. And I think there's a place for that. And I think with 3D printing, hopefully there's, you know, but the truth is, I don't think we saw that work growing as rapidly as the fact that, you know, you open a math book or, you know, a chemistry book, and you're going to have thousands of equations and diagrams, right? And I think you can't necessarily produce a tactile for everything. So you have to complement a less interactive version that, you know, you do have to use a screen reader and an audio to navigate, with obviously amazing stuff like the stuff you just described with the tactiles.
So then, just to summarize, really what you've done here is to use these AI tools to pre-process textbooks to figure out how we can make these equations and graphics and chemical equations in an accessible format. And now you're going through your collection and redoing some of these books so it has that content embedded, and then also doing that with some of the new textbooks coming in.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly what we're doing right now. And then, you know, we're not stopping there. I mean, there's a lot more type of content to make accessible. We're also looking at a more holistic solution that merges some of the large language models with sort of our targeted predictive models to allow for a broader range of content to be made accessible. And then also thinking of other modalities, right? Apart from if, you know, you're reading a book via Bookshare versus, you know, we know that the touch points are not necessarily only books, right? So if you're in a class setting, you might be given a handout or a printout or a worksheet or, you know, some other form of content that also faces the exact same problems. And while there are solutions that allow you to, you know, again, take text materials and on the fly produce accessible outputs, we're also looking at what it might take to be able to do the same, right? If you're a student, take an image of a math worksheet and be able to get an accessible output. So that's something we'll be hopefully, particularly with respect to math and chemistry equations, doing a beta launch of by the end of the year.
Now, you have all these books in an accessible format, and let's say I have a math book that you've converted the equations to MathML so I can read them. You also have to worry about the programs and devices that people are using to read this material. What do you do there?
You know, on Bookshare Reader, we've added support for MathML. So if you're using the Bookshare, you know, suite of tools, such as the mobile apps on Android or iOS or the web readers, you will be able to use MathML outputs and be able to render that. I think apart from that, I think we're, you know, increasingly seeing that there's interest around this, and all sorts of other tools, or hopefully other readers will start adding that as well. You know, I think we have an ecosystem of partners that plug into Bookshare, and that's a way in which you can reach, you know, and meet people on the different devices that you have, because, you know, at the end of the day, you can download the content and play it, but, you know, you do need your reader tools to be able to support something like a MathML or ChemML to be able to get the best value for that from those content pieces. So anyways, I think all to say that, you know, in our own tools that we provide for free with Bookshare, those ones are, they are embedded. And hopefully, I think we're seeing increasingly that there'll be, and, you know, actually, I encourage other partners to do the same.
Well, you've pushed a lot of these standards even onto publishers these days to make things more accessible from the get-go. And I remember when we talked with Betsy Bowman, who was a previous leader of Benetech, she talked about Born Accessible, that people and organizations have to make their content accessible right from the beginning. So you don't have to do a lot of post-processing on this material to make it work for blind people.
Yeah, that is a huge program. And I think at this point, Born Accessible is common vernacular. Yeah, so we've been running a program called Global Certified Accessible, which is, you know, built on this idea of Born Accessible. And we're very proud of that work, because that work is really the systems change work that would lead to us not having to do the sort of remediation, or anybody have to do remediation. And so we've been lucky enough, we worked with, I think, around 80 publishers around the world, and had them go through the process of sending us their, you know, ebooks, and then we mark it up and tell them and show them which standards they're not meeting. And then they keep doing the process of producing the ebook till they get to an accessible output. And then we basically do that with a sample of books and do it every year. So, you know, we're slowly and slowly actually changing the publishing ecosystem to produce more accessible books. And now we're actually looking at even beyond that. So we're launched a similar service focused on publisher tools. So tools that are used in the publishing ecosystem to produce books, and see if they are supporting the accessible, you know, outputs of high standards. And I think we're also in the stages of exploring similar sort of programs for education technology more broadly, because those are now exploding in schools and classrooms that are not very accessible.
Well, it's amazing to see how Bookshare has grown over the years, the partnerships it's made, the impact it's had, not only on the lives of blind people in terms of getting accessible material, but also the impact it's had on the publishing world in general. And you've done a great job, and we look forward to see you continue making progress like that.
Oh, thanks, Pete and Nancy. I know you all have been following the journey for a really long time and, you know, supporting the work. So we're really thankful for folks like you who have been huge advocates for this. I mean, it, you know, at the end of the day, we are that trying to do our best to serve the community, and, you know, are always welcome feedback on how we can do better. This is something that is so tangibly valuable, and absolutely something that is, you know, makes us proud of the work that we do every day. So no, thank you. Thank you for the kind words and everything you all do to help support us too.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Bookshare and its parent company, Benetech, and how to contact them, including how you can sign up for a membership so you too can get accessible reading material.
Well, Ian, perhaps you can tell people how they can find out more about Benetech, Bookshare, etc., and where they can go to do that.
Sure. So first of all, I'd say I recommend going and searching for bookshare.org. It's bookshare.org. And I recommend going signing up. You can sign up. You can do a trial sign up. You can. We now have the ability for you to sign up instantaneously and get access to a bunch of books that are not copyrighted, so you can get a feel of it. And then you can, you know, submit your proof of disability or other reading barrier and get access to this, you know, collection of over 1.5 million books. This is a huge resource, really. I mean, if you're in the school systems in the U.S., a lot of people do not know about this, you know, whether it be families or teachers or others. So I highly, highly recommend going to bookshed.org. You can search for it on your app store as well. And if you're interested in honestly joining us in any of these initiatives, if you're a technologist and have some ideas of how we could improve our technology, if you are OpenAI and want to help us with giving us some credits or thinking of other interesting ways of how we can use you know, technology such as that in this mission to eradicate inaccessibility of STEM, please reach out. And you can find us for either funding or partnership related interests at benetech.org, which is benetech.org.
And if somebody wanted to contact you, how would they get in touch?
You know, I'm just going to give you my email address. Reach out to me. It's my name is Ayan Kishore, so it's A-Y-A-N-K at benetech.org.
Do you have a social media presence?
We do have a social media presence. Yes, we do have both the Benetech and Bookshare social media presence. I am mostly active on LinkedIn. So if you're interested, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn or follow us on LinkedIn. And then on most other social channels, you should be able to find Benetech and Bookshare.
If they're searching for Ayan Kishore on LinkedIn, how would they spell that?
It's A-Y-A-N, is Ayan, and Kishore is K-I-S-H-O-R-E. And there are a lot of Indians on this planet, but I'm pretty sure I would be one of the first few that would pop up.
And you can find all of that information by activating the link for this episode's show notes, which is episode 2433 at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And remember, you can go to the Bookshare site and learn about how to sign up there. They also have resources for various reading apps, including the Bookshare reading app, which is available on Google and iOS devices. And you can also, before signing up, try out some of their books for free. The books that don't have copyrights are available for free. So check it out, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about biking beyond the breaking point. Hard as one might try, success in achieving one's goals is not always guaranteed. When one misses the goal, however, the question is how one reacts to failure and what one learns from it. We'll talk with Dave Wilkinson about these issues as they relate to his unsuccessful attempt to complete a 3,000-mile, 12-day cross-country bike race. The Bike Across America race is extraordinarily challenging, and just to put it in perspective, although Dave and his tandem pilot were not able to complete the entire race, what they managed to achieve was still really impressive.
Thanks for joining us this week, and we hope you'll share Eyes on Success with a friend and tell them all about it and join us for next week's episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.